We are on Yedzayin Amud Aleph. We're up to before the lines get wide.
Which wide? Big wide or middle wide?
Wide. We're in the middle lines.
Right.
We're at four lines before the lines get wide. Okay. We're up to
the
middle
of Zion?
Yes, that's exactly what we're up to.
Okay.
The third word in the line. Margul Bepumia de Rameir. It was frequently said in the mouth of Rameir. So yeah. Some interpret Margul means that it was some rogil, constant. Others, usual. Some actually interpret it comes from the word, like a jewel, is in Margolia.
Right, Margolia.
Margolia.
So, as though to say that the words that
pearls
he says...
Pearls of wisdom came out of his mouth.
Exactly. Fine. So, what was it that was so amazing that Rameir said? The Rameir, Gomor, Rameir said the following. Gomor b'chol avadacha b'chol nafshecha, that you should study with all of your heart, all your nefesh, v'das es d'orachai, to know my ways. This is, again, this is a tefillah, or this is something which he would live by. We'll have to see why Rav Meir lived by these words. The lishkod al galasi taras, that he should watch and stand guard by my doors with regard to my Torah. Natsor tarasi bilvavecha, that you should guard my Torah in your heart. V'neged einecha tiyeh yirasi, and before my eyes shall be, it should be a level of fear before you. Shamar picha b'kol chet, guard your mouth from all sin. V'tahir v'kadish atzmach m'chol ashma v'avoy, purify and cleanse oneself from all forms of avera. V'ani eyeh imcha b'chol makom, and then I will be with you in all places. That was the tefillah of Rav Meir. Before I should talk about what's the significance, what's so special about Meir. Rav Meir was very close to a huge scholar by the name of Acher, Elisha ben Avuya, who was Kofer
B'Iker. He gave it all up.
But Rav Meir, for some reason, he felt that he was able to still have a relationship with him. As the Gemara says in Chagiga, that just like a fruit, he was able to eat the fruit and knew how to discard a pit. He wouldn't eat the pit, he knew. So that's how it was also. He would listen to his wisdom. He knew how to get the good stuff from him. And all the garbage he would throw out.
The wheat from the chaff.
That was the greatness of Rav Meir. So some of Arshim explained, this is why Rav Meir said, Gomer b'chol avavacha b'chol nafshecha, that he needed to make sure that he would not be influenced negatively from the legs of Acher. So he would be mispiled to Hashem, that he would remain on the proper path. Continues the Gemara, Margul b'pumayhu the Rabbanim. He was frequent in the mouths of the Rabbanim, the Yavna. So this is therefore some type of saying that the Chachamim would say in Yavna, which was this tremendous base medrash, tremendous study hall. But what would they say? They would say a very interesting tefillah, which is certainly open to tremendous interpretation. It says, Ani beria v'chaverai beria, which is very similar what this piece is to Anasim, how we contrast ourselves to those who are Yoshe Kronos, those who sit in corners, those who do not engage in Torah study. Now this, I think, has a little bit of a twist to it. It says, Ani beria v'chaveri beria. I am one of God's creations, as well as my friend. We are both creations of God. And we look at, good evening, we look at the Tosfos, the second Tosfos. Tosfos says, Ani beria v'chaver beria, kolom, that is to say, yesh lo lev kimoni, he has a heart, just like myself, or a mind, l'havchin bein tov v'ra, to be able to distinguish between.
But he doesn't do it.
Maybe he doesn't do it, maybe he does. It doesn't really say so.
Because otherwise, what would be the whole, you know, kunz over here? Why would he have to say that? But what he's saying is that my friend and I, we have the same thing, the same brain, same heart, same everything, but I use it to good, and he just doesn't, he's not with the program.
Well, let's see what he does it for. That's what the rest of this statement is. We're in the first wide line. So let's see, maybe you're right. Let's see. This is how it continues. Ani malach, malachti ba'ir, v'hu malachtu basada. my work is in the city, and their work is found in the field. So they work in the field. So what exactly are these Talmid Chachamim saying? So we look in, the Rashi over here at the top right. Ani, which is the first small line. Ani ha'osek b'tora beria. Ani v'chein chaveri am ha'aretz beria hu. So kind of what you were saying, like Matosos, with regard to we're both creators, we're both created by Hashem, but I chose to learn, and he chose not to be so knowledgeable. Then the next Rashi says, Ani malachti be'ir, what's the significance about where you work in the city? Kolomar, nocha malachti memalachto, my work is easier than your work. Why? Because I get to stay in the city, and I don't have to schlep out into the fields, the muddy fields, it's cold out. You have to work out in the fields, in the trenches. So to me, we're very fortunate that we're able to be sitting and learning in the Beis Medrash and not have to schlep out there. And according to the Ben Yoyada, the way the Ben Yoyada explains this, which is really how I like to read these next few lines, is that the whole purpose of this tefillah is that these Rabbanim should not feel that they are such big shots. I'm such a genius, I'm a Talmid Chacham, I'm better than the rest of the world, I'm better than everyone else. The Ben Yoyada says no. When it says, Ani malachti ba'ir, means you're isolating yourself, locking yourself in a city where you have no nisyonos, you have no tests, you're not really challenging yourself as far as those things are concerned. That person, explains Ben Yoyada, they have to go into the fields, and where they have different nisyonos in business, which you do not have to overcome. And of course, if a person doesn't have those tests, they don't have the ability to excel and to pass them and to become a better person. So therefore, the way the Ben Yoyada explains this is that don't think that you're so great, because maybe the reason why you're successful is only because you're Be'ir, and you don't have those challenges of the outside world. Continues the Gemara, Ani mashkin malachti, v'hu mashkin malachti. We both get up to do our work. K'shem shehu eino misgader b'malachti, kach ani eino misgader b'malachto. Just as I would not even claim that I can possibly do his job, so he cannot claim that he would be able to be successful in doing mine. Each of us have our own skills that the other cannot accomplish. The Shema Tomer, maybe you'll say, this is the key line, maybe you'll say, Ani marbe v'hu mamet. This is how, why this is what the tefillah thing really means. Ani marbe v'hu mamet. I am so great, I've learned so much Torah, v'hu mamet, that Nebuch who's in the field, who hardly learns anything, he doesn't really grow, he's a nobody, he's mamet, he learns nothing. Sheninu, this is what they would say, we've learned echad hamarbe v'echad hamamit u'bilvad sheyechaven libel shemayim. Doesn't make a difference whether you've learned a lot or a little. Depends on your intentions. And if your kavana is libel shemayim, that you dedicate and set your heart to avim shemat shemayim, that's the key.
Isn't the key the not sheyechaven is the kavana? That each one of them, no matter what they really do, they have to have the in mind that it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu who really does it. So what's the difference? What he does.
Right.
It's only through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make a fella dig ditches and make no money whatsoever. And a fella could be, or the reverse. It's all HaKodim Videi Shemayim,
right.
Puts me Yira Shemayim.
Right, exactly. That's very good. So therefore, again, what
like Yisachar Zvul.
Right.
So but you can't, we shouldn't, feel that we are
on a higher level. Level.
Right.
Because they may not have done the training.
It doesn't
matter
like that. The fella could be a, I don't know, matzah baker, could be a digger.
Right.
But if he has the kavana on a Kadosh Baruch Hu,
but it's also opportunity. You know, you never
you
know.
Sure you can't sit and not do and say, I want to nest my Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Right.
You have to have the kavana that what you're going to try and go and do. For whatever reason, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes you lose, sometimes it's like the fellow who misses the plane, you know, and he says, gee, I missed the plane, I lost
the
deal for $1 million, and the plane falls down.
Right.
To me, I find this a very remarkable saying, because this was the saying that the Rabbanan and Yavne, who obviously were huge Talmid Chachamim, they would constantly say,
because there was a reason. Because they were, Yavne was that they left Yerushalayim, it was the time of the Korban Bayis, and they were sequestered in Yavne, they have to belong in Torah, whether they were, the Torah didn't exist in the rest of Israel at the time, right? That's why it was set up for, to perpetuate learning, because otherwise we wouldn't have learning today. So they were given the opportunity to be in Yavne, as opposed to Klal Yisrael was scattered all over the place, was busy, you know, having to fight off the masses that were invading.
Very good. All right, let's move on. Margula Bapumi de Abai. So this next statement was frequently said in Abai. The Olam Yehi Adam Arum Beira. Person should always, Arum literally means to be
sly.
Sly.
It could be to sly, like the Nachash was
Arum. Arum, Arum
you
call,
what was it? Arum.
That's right.
If we look in Rashi, that's, because Arum literally could be to be naked. But that's that's what it means. You said you got it right the first time. Rashi says Arum Beyira, it means L'harim, or in Rashi, L'harim b'chol mini arama, L'yiras boru. We have to engage in all forms of trickery in order to continuously be able to show Yiras Hashem. Which means that we have to kind of play different games, mind games, whatever it is, in order to be able to achieve greatness. And you often find this by, let's say, great sports athletes, that even though they've accomplished, they're the best, they say, oh yeah, but I made this mistake, I made that mistake, I shouldn't have done that. So they beat themselves up as though, like, I'm not so great, to try to move on to hopefully be more successful in the future.
But I think it's also overcoming the Yetzer Hara, you know, you have to constantly work it, because the things that keep you from learning, and you know, things that can take you off the derech from learning, so you have to be very sly to beat, you know, the Yetzer Hara, who's always out to get you to spoil you from learning.
Right, absolutely. So you have to know, yourself how to overcome those obstacles. And then, this is still Abaye speaking, but he would quote the pasuk, "Anu Rav Meshuchem," that you should speak in a very soft manner, and but one who does that will be Meshuchem, will take away, remove the wrath, the anger. And the reason why it's brought down in Yaakov, why Abaye would say this, because Abaye was a Kohen.
Oh.
So what? So Kohen, Kohanim are considered to be Kabdonim Heim. They're very
awkward.
Right. And therefore, he used to say this all the time, so that which was his natural feelings, which was innate for him to get a little bit, to snap quickly, he would constantly say this to remind himself that that's not okay. Umar v'shalom im echav, im krova, im kol adam. You have to try your best to constantly increase the peace among your brothers, your relatives, v'im kol adam. It's interesting, the order. The order, it talks, first of all, it talks about your relatives, then it talks about kol adam, right? Because sometimes it's easier said than done, but you have to prioritize. Be'afilu im nachri b'shuk. You have to even be
peace with,
right, even a non-Jew, it doesn't make a difference who it is, even if it's a person in the marketplace, in the Parsham learn, that it may be someone that you don't even have any relationship with. So you've never seen him before. So that you'll be loved above as well as below, among people. In fact, it's stated about the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shul hakdimu adam shalom olam be'afil nachri b'shuk. There was not a single person that ever said hello to him first. He was always the very first person to say good morning or to give a nice greeting. And it didn't matter who that person was.
You know, they say about the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood.
Yeah.
When he used to go through the toll booths, and he had, you know, a driver. Mm-hmm. He always said good morning to the, so they said to him, what is it?
Yeah.
He says he knows that we're Yidden. He says that they should feel, you know, it's important. And this is evidently what it is.
Right. It's makes a huge impression.
Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rabbi Bell Wine, said over that he used to drive him when he was young, and there, and he said when he crossed the George Washington Bridge at that time, I think he was still toll taker.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And he said when the guy gives you change, he said they took out the change, he drove away. says that he says Kamenetsky said to him, he says no, Mustafa Zagan, thank you.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and
right, that's what I was telling you about.
And also, they said that when Kamenetsky passed away,
right,
that he lived apparently in Muncie, next door, very close to a monastery. And the Mother Superior came out and said, he's such a nice man. He was such a nice man. We're going to miss him. Because this man, he says, every time he saw me or one of the sisters in the street, he gave us a big good morning. And some of the other people here who are in the religious community cross the street or even spit on the sidewalk when they see us. Because he ran over and yelled, hello, how are you today?
So you see the impact what a hello can accomplish. Continues the Gemara. Margul b'pum de Rabba. So now this is something which Rabba was often found saying. Tachlis chochma tshuva masim tovim. The real tachlis, the purpose, the benefit of knowledge is not for knowledge's sake alone, but it's for an opportunity for a person to realize the error in their ways and masim tovim to be a good person. That's really the purpose of everything, of learning. You know the old expression that derech eretz kadmo Torah. So you have to, obviously, those are things which are critical. Shleihei adam kare v'shona, a person shouldn't be such a huge Talmud Chacham, I'm learning, I'm studying. And then what do? After you close up your books, and you kick and bite and hurt your parents, you're nasty to your parents, or barabo, your teacher, the Mishu who gadol mimenu b'chacham minyan. Once you a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, so now all of a sudden you think you know everything because you're a big shot because you spent a couple of years or a couple of months learning here or that. So now all of a sudden you think you know more than your parents. You know more than the people who are really more wise than you, or minyan. Even you go up against a larger a group of people that say X, you must be right, even though you're probably wrong. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, Reishis Chachma, Yiras Hashem, Seichel Tov B'chol Yisehem. So what this means is that the Reishis Chachma, the way the Marshal explains this, is that the real purpose of trying to obtain wisdom and knowledge is Yiras Hashem. That must be your goal. The purpose of learning Torah is to achieve Yiras Hashem. And then once a person has accomplished learning Torah for that purpose, then Seichel Tov B'chol Yisehem. Then that person will thereafter also achieve more an element of intellect. That's how the Ohel Yaakov explains it. That the starting point must be that you're learning for the right reasons, not for knowledge's sake, but in order to connect yourself to Torah and to build on your Yiras Hashem. Once a person has that right attitude, then it's natural you'll understand that the things that they learn will stick with them. And then the Gemara interprets this word. Not just to say to do it, to perform those mitzvos, or the things that you've learned. Ella lo'oseihem, that it caused the person to be remade, to be an osim l'shma. You become made, you recreated yourself, provided that you're learning Torah for the right reasons. L'shma. Lo osim shol l'shma. Not for a person who learns Torah, shol l'shma. And then the Gemara ends off with a doozy of a statement. The chol oseh shol l'shma, noach lo shol nivra. If you're a person that does not learn Torah l'shma, better that you were never born. Better you were never created than for you. Not that the person who doesn't learn Torah. You learn Torah, but you don't learn for the right reasons. Noach lo shol nivra. Fractosis. Tosis and Rashi really deal with the same question and give a similar answer. I like Tosis Rashi's answer a little bit better, but Tosis is a little bit longer, so we'll see Tosis first. Tosis shalom l'shma noach lo shol nivra. This is the last Tosis on the lot. Beam timer, you can ask the famous expression. What do you mean? However, Yehuda Marav, Perek Malkum, Shinahogu, it says, L'olom yasek adam v'tarah, uva mitzvahs. Always learn Torah and mitzvahs. I feel sholishma. Even if maybe your intentions initially aren't so good. Why? Right, Shabbatah sholishma, b'lishma. So how can you, ask Tosus, say that a person doesn't learn Torah and Shema, Noach lo shol nivra, better than he wasn't created? How about the expression, Mitok Shlo Shema Bo Shema? What do you mean? We're trying to discourage people from learning? So Tosus says as follows. V'yesh lomar, tahachi mairi, she'en lomid el kat chavera. V'hasa mairi, shalomid al manas shechabdu. So before we translate those words, you'll see in Rashi, Rashi's almost exactly the same. Rashi says, Ha'usa shlo l'shma noach l'shon nivra. Perush, I mean Rashi, she'en lomid, you do not learn k'nei l'kayim el, to fulfill the mitzvos, el l'kante. Right? Which is exactly what Tosu says. So, when is a person, the element of mitok shlo l'shma bo l'shma, is, now going back to Tosu's, the last line, shlomid al manas shechabduhu. You're learning Torah for the honor. I'm doing it for the kavod. Right? The old joke. I'm doing it for the kavod, right? So for that, even though that's really not the right way to be learning, but hopefully once you started learning, you'll have, exactly. So for that, it's not the best, but
it's better than nothing.
Better than nothing. We would encourage you to continue to learn, even if you do not have the greatest of intentions. However, when, or in our Gemara, does it say a person who's not learning Lishma, Noach Lo Shel Nivra, is if it's Al Menas Lekanter, you're learning Torah to provoke, which means that I'm trying to acquire this body of knowledge, not to better myself, but because I know that you value the Torah, and I am going to try to find every single hole, and every single problem with it, and I'm going to say the Torah is not true, look at this, look at that, and maybe talking to someone like a Baal Tshuva doesn't know Torah so well. So I learned, and I want to be Al Menas Lekanter, I'll be able to disprove him up and down, because I know more than he does. So if he has certain beliefs, say, what are you doing that for? To no purpose. Such an individual, Noach Lo Shel Nivra, it's better that you were not created. I think the significance of those words are because the purpose of life is hopefully to accomplish, to be able to make something of oneself and of others, to raise yourself up as well as other people. However, if what you're doing is you're dropping everyone else down to the ground, so then what is your real, what are you really accomplishing in this world? Okay.
I think a more glaring example of that, more extreme example of that,
would
be in the Middle Ages when there were Banner, who were really very solid Talmidei Chachamim, who converted to Alenu and went to the church and used their knowledge against the Jewish people because they were basically for financial reward, which they were plentiful.
Yeah. So. Absolutely. That would probably fit into that category as well. Let's move on. Margula Bapumid Rav. The following was frequently said by Rav. Brackets we do read. Lo ka'om hazeh ha'om haba. This world is not comparable to the world to come. So olam haba, in the world to come, ein bo lo achila lo shtia, no eating, no drinking, there's no having children, v'lmasu matan, in Olam Haba there's no business transactions, v'lokina, there's no jealousy, v'losina, there's no hatred, v'losachros, there's no competition. Ella, rather, if that's the case, then what on earth are they doing in Olam Haba? You basically said there's not a whole lot going on there. This is what occurs in Olam Haba. Tzadikim Yoshvin, the tzadikim are sitting, v'atoriseihem v'roisheihem, and they have crowns on their heads, v'nehenem meziv ha'shechina, and they're deriving benefits, basking in the presence of Hashem's glory. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, v'yachsu es helokim v'yochul v'yishtu, and that they gazed upon God, and they ate and they drank. So you can ask the Stamis Kasha, you just said you don't eat and drink.
So what are you eating? Torah.
So the Bnei Yeshua explains that, of course, when it says V'yochel V'yishtu, doesn't mean they literally were eating, but just like, what's the purpose of food? It's to satiate, nourish the physical this.
It's not the knowledge of Torah, it's for the soul.
Exactly, that's what it means.
So what's everybody V'yishtu else doing if you're not a tzaddik?
Hopefully we'll become tzaddikim. But that's the lashon of the Gemara, at least. Okay. Good dog, fine. New piece of Gemara. Gedola Havtocha, greater is the promise. Shevticha and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Noshim Yosim and HaNoshim. Hashem's promise to the women is greater than to that of men. Apparently there's something unique and special that women do, which we're going to see, that they're promised a greater reward or greater reward than men. Shnemar, how do we see that this is the case to begin with? Because the pasuk says, Nashim shonanos, the women who are confident, Kona, they will rise up, Shava koili, and they'll listen to my voice. Then the pasuk continues and says, Benos, Bodchos, the women, the daughters who are also have bitachon, who have faith and confidence, Hazinim imrasi, they will listen and hearken to my words. And the way that Rashi interprets this is that Rashi says, Shahari Karan Shonas Ubotachos, so we see that these two languages of confidence and bitachon is a double language of being entrusted. That's how Rashi interprets it. This pasuk has two languages of confidence and this, therefore Hashem gives more and has more faith, I guess you can say, also than women. So the Gemara asks, Armule Rav Ravchia, Nashim b'mayzach, which way are women, are they zaycha, do they merit more than men? Because after all, what exactly are they doing? So the Gemara says this is why women get a greater schar than men, because of the following thing that they accomplish. Bakroi b'nayhu l'beikinista, that they encourage and accompany their sons, their children, to go to shul to read. And why to a beis kinesis? So Rashi says over here, tinokos shul beis rabban. They didn't have a school. They would teach the little children in the shul. That's where these kids would learn. That's why it's in the Beit Knista, in the Beis Achneses. Continues the Gemara. What else do the women do that's so nice? And while their husbands are learning in the shul, and they are natrin, they'll wait for their husbands, ad asu mebei rabban, until they come back from learning. So by accompanying and encouraging the children and the husbands to learn Torah, and they're waiting for them to come back, that's their schar that they receive. And the Tziv asks the questions. Doesn't it make any sense? Torah, Talmud Torah,
Keneged Kulam.
So what are you saying? Okay, the women get a reward for saying, go to shul, go to learn. Okay. That's their reward. How could you say that the Gemara says that they get a greater reward than the men? But the men are sitting right there learning.
Because they are supporting the men to learn. By them working and getting jobs and doing things like that, the men can learn.
Okay.
They give them food, they get the food.
Yeah, it doesn't say necessarily that they're supporting them.
They're supporting them because they tell them to go learn, so how can I learn? I'm supposed to make a parnasa, but okay, I'll take care of it.
That could be.
Wouldn't that go against the concept that if somebody performs a mitzvah,
yes,
and he does it, he's mechuyav on the mitzvah, there's a greater schar than somebody who does a mitzvah and they're not mechuyav?
Because
there's no yetzer hara in trying to work against them when they don't have to do it. And this would go in the other direction.
Well, they're not learning, though, either. The women aren't learning. They're encouraging someone who is obligated to do a mitzvah to do it.
But even so, they don't have the mitzvah. They're encouraging somebody. They don't have a mitzvah to encourage the mitzvah. You know, they're doing something that's not been mechuyav, and they're getting a greater schar than somebody who's doing it that has a chiyuv.
Within my own self, maybe I'll do, maybe I won't do. But with your encouragement, so you've caused
every
me to learn.
A successful man has a woman behind him.
A woman made up that quote. Yeah, I was told.
What do you call it, though? Isn't it somewhere in the Chumash that the women, like we say, their father, mitzvah says,
it's a sensation, it's my brother.
But because they're the ones that are supposed to be, isn't it teaching the children first? The woman teaches the, there's another place where there's a reward for women because they are the ones teaching the children.
Okay.
I don't remember where now.
That they, well, they certainly do teach their children, I guess. But yeah, I don't know that source, but it sounds somewhat familiar. The Gemara doesn't use that. The Gemara says that because they encourage them to go. Mm-hmm. So then, before we move on, I just want to share with you the opinion of Tziv. And Tziv says something interesting. So why is the reward greater? So maybe as you said, but the Tziv tells us as follows: you say to your husband, "Go to the shir," and you encourage them to go to the shir. So now the question is, and the husband left, and he went to the shir. The question is he paying the attention? Was he dozing off? Was he sleeping? Was he this?
But he went.
He went. So therefore he gets schar. He gets schar halicha. But he doesn't necessarily get the schar for learning. But the Tziv says that when it came to the woman, all her job is to encourage him to go out. So therefore, as long as she accomplished what she needed to accomplish. You, on the other hand, maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. But just as long as she encouraged you to go to the class from point A to point,
got you going.
She gets the reward of that learning Torah, even though you didn't learn the Torah. That's how the Tzav explains it. So therefore, it's better her than you, because hers is a guarantee. All right, let's move on. Ki havi miftu rabbanan mebei Rav Ami, when the rabbanan left from the base medrash of Rav Ami, bi'amrila mebei Rav Chanina, some say it was from Rav Chanina, Amrile Hachi. They said the following prayer. They said the following: Olamecha tira b'chayecha. Your world should be seen in your lifetime. Rashi interprets this to mean, fourth line from the bottom, Kol sarchecha tit, that timatze. You should find all of the things, all of your needs. All your needs should be before you. Everything that you need should be taken care of. Continues the Gemara. V'achorsecha l'chai ha'olam haba. Your end should be the Olam Haba, to sikvascha l'dor dorim, and your hope
generation.
For generation generation. Livcha, your heart, yehege tzvuna, should be involved in acquiring more understanding. Picha yedaber chachmois, your mouth should speak wisdom. L'shayincha, and your tongue should be yarchish, runonos, should be engaged in forming praises and singing to Hashem. Avafecha yeshira negdecha, your eyes should be straight before you, so you should not divert to other things. As the last Rashi says, Lashon Yushar shtehei maven b'Torah kehalacha, you should learn the correct psak halacha. Einecha, your eyes, ye'iru b'mor ha-Torah, should be filled with the light of Torah. Ufanecha, on your face, yazhiru kezer ha-rakia, should shine forth just like the shine heavens. Your lips should continuously utter forth more knowledge. This is the more difficult next three words. And that your kalyosechas, your kidneys, should give forth proper counsel. And your steps should be toward listening to the words of the days of old. And possibly the significance of this particular statement was that even after they left the base medrash, they can say, I graduated, I have my diploma, finished, I can move on. I remember when I was this was a joke, but in yeshiva in Neri Yisrael, which is, you know, a pretty right-wing yeshiva, the last day before Ben Zmanim, they have all these different things, lost and found. So one guy wrote, for sale, pair of tefillin, talis, tzitzis, like the last day before summer, you know. It was a joke, but I think that's the idea of this tefillah, that just because you moved on from your studying, you should continue to have that within you. You shouldn't give it up. You should just keep on going, keep on moving. All right.
I think that the significance of this is
need a doctor to explain what the significance of the good kidneys.
I don't know.
It was
thought in the Middle Ages that the kidneys are the seat of the conscience, the good conscience, bad conscience, that somehow those organs govern your having guilty feelings if you did something bad or something.
The kidneys.
So I think that might be why they say kiliyoteka, that your kidneys should steer you in the right path. In other words, that you should have a strong Most of your conscience telling you to be your guide.
Okay. Okay, so that makes sense. All right, we're going to see one more, then we're going to have to stop, because we have to get ready for a big night ahead of us. When the Rabbanan would part ways from learning in the Beis Medrash Rav Chisda, three lines on the bottom, the Amrla Mebe Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amr Hachi, they would say the following. Amrli Hachi. They would say, Alufenu Misoivlin, etc. Doesn't quote the rest of the Pasuk, but Alufenu, Aluf, those who are the leaders, the distinguished people will be Misuvlim, they should be accepted. So what exactly these words mean? Elofenu Mesuvlim. So you have a dispute between Rabbi Shmuel. The Yarmula, some say Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar. Chad Omer, one says Elofenu Batorah. It means that you should accept as from leadership of Torah, Mesuvlim B'mitzvos. And you should be filled with mitzvos. As some explain, that even if you're a leader and you're so engaged in Torah, that doesn't mean, all right, I don't have to do any mitzvos. The Torah in itself is one thing, but you should also be filled with mitzvos at the same time. Torah alone is insufficient. V'chad Omer, and some interpret this to mean, alfeinu b'torah b'mitzvos, that you should be a leader and instrumental in guiding others in Torah as well as the mitzvos. V'suvon b'yisurin, you should be able to be soivel, you should be able to endure, to be able to withstand all the different pains that you may go through as they, again, they're walking out of the Beis Medrash. They're leaving, so they're saying whatever difficulties you may encounter in life, you should endure. We're going to get to the two dots. Ein peretz shulot tehei, ein peretz, this is the pasuk which we did not, the Gemara didn't quote, but now we can conclude it. Ein peretz, there's no breach. Shulot tehei siyosenika siyasar shel David. That your helpers should not be like that of David's helpers. She'atzam imenu achitoifel. That from them came forth achitoifel. Achitoifel, who of course encouraged David's son Avshalom to rebel. And David in turn having to run away. Then the pasuk continues. Then yotzos shlok. And he should not go out. That from Shaul came forth someone by the name of Doeg Hadomi, who, among other things, wiped out Nov Ir HaKohanim. Right, destroyed, killed 85 Kohanim, in which the Mefarshim say were equal to, each one had the capacity of becoming a Kohen Gadol. That's how great Doeg HaDomi was. Of course, Doeg HaDomi also spent much of his time wishing to kill David. And in fact, if you look at the word Doeg, it's the same gematria as David. The only difference between those two is the Aleph and Gimel, which of course is a Dalet, one of three, which is David. Some explain, and Adomi is red, which was also David had that attribute. That Doeg, his whole mission, just like Shaul, was to kill David. Of course, Shoyel met his end before David did. Then the pasuk concludes. Is that correct? No. Ve'ein sabchal. There was no screaming or crying out. Shlo teha siyasenu kasiyas shel Elisha. That you should not have companionship and helpers comparable to Elisha. Shatzminu Gehazi. That from him went forth Gehazi. So why was Gehazi likened to someone who cries out? So let's look at the second Tosos. Tosos says, Shehim Etzoyer. Gehazi ended up getting Saras. So what? What does that have to do with screaming? Sibbe, because we know that one of the things that the person who has Saras must do is Tami Yikra, Manu Sabchi. He has to scream out constantly to distance himself from the rest of society, saying that I am Tami. Now we're up to the conclusion of this. A very wild ritva we'll stop with in a second. Birichoimoisenu in your city, in your streets, Shelo Yehelanu ben Otalmud, you should not have a son, a child, or a student, Shemekadiach Tashil Viran, that spoils their dish in public, which means that they are not going to teach Torah properly. Now, what exactly does this have anything to do with a street or what's going on? Again, this is talking about a tefillah that when you leave the Beis Medrash, now you're going to the real world. Hopefully, you're not going to associate with people that may be a negative influence, which may indirectly affect you as well. There's an unbelievable ritva, which the Gemara, as of course we know, sometimes does not always have the real addition. But this is how the ritva interprets this. He agrees with the first few ideas that you should not have someone comparable like Achitofel or someone such as Doeg HaAdomi or someone similar to Gehazi. But the last one of Rechavosenu in your street, it should not be upon you. He has a different interpretation, and you'll understand why not everyone has this in the Gemara. He says as follows: Rechavosenu. What does it say? Baruch Hoseinu Shloye. Okay. The way it's also interpreted is Baruch Hoseinu on your streets, Al Yeshu Hanoitzri, referring to
Jesus.
Yes, Shehaya Doresh Berchovos Mifnei Rabim Hagadol Shel Dofi LaHadicha. That this individual would always be found in the street corners
prophesizing
and speaking falsehood to others. So he was saying, part of this tefillah was, don't get
sidetracked
by that particular individual and start following him. Therefore, that's another thing that was said. Of course, it's not found in our Gemara.